Well, that's not the first slide. That's the first slide. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be home and to be with you once again. And several had asked about a presentation of my trip. And I think it's appropriate to do so. And I think it should be faith building for you. We certainly have an example of in the scriptures of giving a report of the evangelistic work. This is the case of Paul and Barnabas. When they came back to Antioch, they got the church together and shared with them what they had done and how the Lord had blessed them on their journey. And so with that example, I give also a report of the work that I was engaged in. So the purpose of the trip, by the way, I went to the Philippines. Okay, I didn't put that up there where we went. I guess I did the first slide. To facilitate the spreading of the gospel. We want to enable the brothers and sisters in the Philippines to spread the gospel to other people within the Philippines. Millions of people over there, millions and millions of people over there that need to hear the gospel. And we don't know the culture that well. We don't know the languages. They do. And we want to facilitate them spreading the gospel to the people there. So we also provided some spiritual teaching to the brothers and sisters there, things perhaps they had not heard presented. We wanted to advise and encourage and strengthen them as much as we can, steer them in a conservative path somewhat as much as we can. Some of them have backgrounds of much liberal tendencies. As we're able, we assist the members of the church with their personal needs. As we come there, we discover needs. The very poor people in general. I know there are some rich people in the Philippines. We don't go to the rich people. We go to the poor people. And so they're poor and they really struggle. It's hand-to-mouth type of thing. They get by most of the time, but sometimes they have special needs. And so we are able to help them as they make needs known to us. And we also assist the churches themselves in sometimes we expand the church building or fortify the church building or build a church building or songbooks or Bibles, many things that we do in that respect. And we discover them and we verify them. Sometimes through the year hear the needs, and we send them money, and then we verify, yes, was this really accomplished? So this is my fourth trip that I've made over to the Philippines. The first one was 7 years ago, and then the last 3 years I've been over there with Duane and going over there. And the relationships are building and growing and getting stronger because of our going back. We go once a year because it's very expensive to go to the Philippines. The airfare itself, is very expensive. And then all the other, going around in motels and eating out and things, it's very, very expensive. So we go once a year. We've even talked about maybe not going next year or maybe going next year. We don't know. They're saying, please come back. Are you going to come back next year? They're very eager for us to come back. And so we may, the decision has not been made. But they do want us to come back. And they realize also that we cannot live there and it's very expensive to go there. I think I had one more bullet there. Give them health instructions. This year, because many of the requests, we communicate with them with email throughout the year. And so we know what's happening more or less to the brothers and sisters over there. And they many times say, oh, this person has got cancer or this person's got diabetes or we've got this illness or this problem. And we felt if we could improve their health in any way, that it, first of all, will help them. And then second of all, the requests might be diminished a little bit as far as the requests for financial assistance. So Duane came prepared this time to give a health seminar. So virtually every place that we went, he gave. He would give a sermon, and I would give a sermon, and then he would get up again and give a health lesson, a lecture about various health alternative health measures, rather than running to a doctor. Improve your health by what you eat. A lot of diabetes over there. When you eat rice for every meal, which is virtually what they do, eat rice, and rice turns in, which is starch, turns into sugar, and sugar, when you load your body with sugar, after a while, your body can't handle it. And so it develops diabetes. That's what happens. And that's their meal. Every meal, they have rice. If there's some way that they can slow the absorption of the rice, slow absorption of the sugars. We gave them advice about that. We also said, here, you ought to eat green vegetables, a lot of green vegetables, and typically all they have is rice and maybe some bones to flavor the soup, and they don't have a good diet. They can't afford a good diet. But we're telling them if you have an opportunity for a garden. Some people in the city don't have an opportunity for a garden, but if they're out in the country and they can plant a garden, plant greens and put the greens in your diet and eat better. So there was a whole series. Dwayne usually would take an hour or more, sometimes an hour and a half, making presentations about the health and how you can eat better and live better and have better health. And then another thing that he did is we took over four silver water generators. Silver is a natural antibiotic, and it can improve your health. And so a silver water generator is an electrical machine that takes distilled water and puts silver ions in the water. And you drink it. You drink a small amount, like a couple of tablespoons, and it improves your health, can improve your health. And so we decided to leave four silver water generators over there, one in different varied locations, and let them generate the silver water and take and distribute it to the people there to help them also improve their health. So we'll see. We've already gotten some positive feedback saying, yeah, that's really been helping. And so we'll see. I'm not presenting this health seminar to you today, but Dwayne did do that. And that was a big part of what we went over there to do. Also had seeds. He took over a suitcase full of seeds of things that they might not have had. Chia seeds and collard greens and okra and various seeds that they could plant in their garden. And that went like hotcakes, They just gather around, I want some of those seeds, I want some of the seeds. And so we distributed a lot of seeds over there too. Some seeds they did have okra over there already, but American okra might be a slightly different variety. So that was a big part of what we did to help them, to hopefully help them improve their health. And also that would go along towards spiritual health as well. All right. So there's my traveling companions, Dwayne and Anita. Hal, I think you've met them, and they used to live here, of course. And they were with me. This is the first time Anita had gone over. Third time for Dwayne and fourth time for me. And so it was great to have Anita along. She provided an extra level of fellowship. It could relate to the children. She brought coloring books and passed them out to the children. And then we ran out of those, and we went to the store and bought just notepads. They don't even have paper. A lot of the places don't have paper and pencils. And so we'd buy pencils and paper, pass them out, and the kids just snapped them up, They're just so eager to have paper. And so anyway, that was one of her ministries, and she communicated with the women as well. So it was a great, great thing to have Anita along with us. Okay, here's the Philippine Islands. Do we have a pointer? I think we have. I'm sorry?
There's one in a long, skinny case in there.
Is this the case?
Yes.
Let's hope it works. Is this it? Ah, it works. Great. Okay, so where did we go? This is the Philippine Islands. Just a little bit of background, which you may have heard before, is the Philippine Islands was colonized by Spain shortly after Columbus sailed the ocean. They came through and they colonized Spain and were over Spain for 400 years. So there's a lot of Spanish influence in the Philippines. And then in the Spanish-American War, around the turn of the 19th, 20th century, the United States defeated Spain, and so the United States then became the owner of the Philippines. So there's a lot of influence of the United States over there. And then English came to be used to some extent over there. And then after World War II, the United States gave the Philippines their independence, and so now the Philippines are an independent country. But English is one of the national languages, along with Tagalog, is a national language. But there are other languages. It's not just Tagalog. There's Cebuano and Ilocano and other languages, dialects. And so therefore, they don't even all communicate with them themselves. So it's a challenge. All right, so we came, Luzon is the big island here, and Manila is the capital. So we flew into Manila, and I'll quickly tell you the islands we went to. We traveled a lot around Luzon, then we went to Mindoro. We also talked to brethren. We didn't go to Palawan, but we talked to brethren from there in Panay. We went to there in Negros and Cebu. So these are the areas that we went to in the islands. The lower half of the Philippines is down here. It has heavy influence with Muslim, with Mohammedism. And the other upper half in general is more Christian oriented. And so Muslims are not friendly to Americans and Christians, and so we avoid going down to the lower parts here. Okay. Here's Luzon Island. So Manila is down here. We went to Alangapo City. We went to Zambales. We went to Tarlac. We went to Nueva Ecija. We went to Pangasinan, we went to La Union, we went to Isabela. So these are the areas that we went to on Luzon. Went to a lot of different churches, a lot of traveling that we've been, and I'll show you some of that. Here's Luzon, and here's Mindoro, the island of Mindoro, and here's breakout of Mindoro over here. Shortly after we got to Manila, in fact, after 4 or 5 hours of sleep, we got in a van. The brothers met us there. It was a mix-up on meeting us, so they spent the night in the airport waiting for us, trying to provide us transportation from the airport. And I got in at midnight, and I went to the hotel, and I got a little bit of sleep. But they sat the whole night at the airport waiting for us. But anyway, they had a van and they picked us up, and we went to the Batangas, which is the port here in the lower part of Luzon, and then we took a ferry. I'll show you a picture of a ferry. Took a ferry over to Mindoro. And so we visited five or six different churches in the northern part of Mindoro. Mindoro is not as populous as some of the other islands, in my opinion. I could be mistaken. But anyway, we visited some churches there. Back to this map again, so that was Mindoro. We went to Palawan, Panay, and Negros, and Cebu. Palawan, this is the island of Palawan. We have a number of churches and brethren that we work with on the island of Palawan. Puerto Princesa, Nara, Brooks Point, various ones down here that we have not been over there. I have never been over there. And the reason we hadn't is there's been some history of kidnapping of Americans, so we didn't care to be kidnapped. But that's really a number of years in the past. So we asked them this time, what about if we came next year, could we visit you in Palawan? Yeah, we probably could. So and we've talked to a number of other people. They say, oh, yeah, it's safe to go on to Palawan. So next year, perhaps, we will go there and visit some of the churches, especially in the cities. But we did not this year. So we flew some of the brethren from here to Manila, and we met with them for several days, just like we did last year. This is the island of Panay. Iloilo is the city, and this is the name of the province, Iloilo. We went to Kolanog, is where Chris and Premi live, which we spent a lot of time with. Posse City, also went visited a church there up in the mountains, Minalosan. So somewhere in this area, we visited three or four churches and spoke at those churches there. And then we took so here it is, here's the Iloilo over here. We took a ferry from the Tongas, I forgot how to pronounce that, I can't read it real well, over to Bacolod. So this is a two-hour ferry ride from here to here. And then we visited church in Bacolod area, Don Salvador, a church there, Tyason, a church there, down to Dumaguete, church there, over to Cebu. To Cebu City is just off the map up here. First time we'd been to Cebu. I'd never been to Cebu before. It took us 3 hours to travel on Cebu to go up to Cebu City. I'll show you some pictures of there. Came back to Dumaguete and then over here to Mimbanay, I guess is how it's called, Kabakulan. Visited a couple of churches there and then home. So that's roughly all the different churches that we visited. I'm going to show you some pictures now and talk about some of the churches and some of the people that we met. So here we are on, this is such a wide variety of people and churches. And here's very primitive houses, a little village on Mindoro. I had never been to, well, I've been to Mindoro before, but never been to this church there. So this is the little village. This is the road, which is a nice concrete road. And this is the church off the highway there. That's Anita and me. And we're walking over to the little church building over here. Here's the church building. And we have with us some of the brethren from Zambales, who spoke English very well. So this is Godi and Joel and Brother Rodell and his wife and others that spoke well. And here I am and Dwayne and Anita. But then these are the native there. They're darker skinned and smaller stature people. And they did not speak English very well. And so we spoke through a translator. This is the church building. Pretty basic shelter, open air church building. And they've got a sign there to say Church of Christ. This is Brother Rodell. He had, for many years, had lived on Mindoro and worked there with the churches. He moved a couple of years ago. He moved from there to Luzon, and I'll show you where he moved. This is the brother Bernaldo Rodellas, who has sort of taken over working with the churches there on Mindoro. And Brother Rodell was with us. He met us in Manila and traveled to, he traveled with us to Mindoro. And so he introduced us to Brother Rodellas. There I am with Brother Rodellas. Question? I would say 40s, maybe late 40s. 40s is what I would guess. I don't know. I didn't ask them. Anyway, this is near that first little church building that I talked to you about. And this is at the second church building that we went to. It had beautiful flowers there. Some of these are brethren from Zambales, but some of them are the ones that live there on that island. Here's the third church building that we went to. And here's inside that church, that third church building, that they met together and made presentation. Here I am in, I believe I'm in that church building, making a presentation. So this is the way it was for many of the locations. Here's Godi, Policarpio, from Zambales. He speaks English very well, and he also speaks native language, Tagalog, very well. And so he would be my translator. That's how we did it. For a lot of the places, some places understood English, very few. Most of them, we used a translator, and that's one of the reasons we brought some of the brethren from Zambales who spoke English and understand English very well and could serve as our translators. So that's the way it was. That's how we made our presentations. So we left Mindoro. We're back in, this is in Olongapo on Luzon. This is the Calaclan congregation, one of the larger congregations there, this nice big building that they have. These are city people. Those other people were more farmers and out in the country. These are city people and a lot of children, a nice congregation that they have there. This is inside that building. These are the young men of the congregation. And the leader of the congregation is Brother Rexon, 20 years old. Unfortunately, they did have two elders there, Brother Rudy and Brother Fred. Brother Rudy passed away several months ago, and Brother Fred is incapacitated, and I'll show you a picture of Brother Fred, and his mind is not there. He doesn't have many more years on this earth. And so Brother Rexon is the one that's taken over and sort of preaching and doing a lot of the preaching. There's another brother from another congregation that comes and helps. A couple of other brethren that come and help. But he's working with the youth, and these are the young men that are the future of the church, and he's teaching them to lead songs and teaching them to preach and everything. And if they hang in there, it'll be a lot of young men, a lot of men to carry on the work in this congregation. These are the leading men of the congregation. There were a few older men. This is Mario from another congregation. And there's Dwayne. So we had a meeting with the men of the congregation there. This is Brother Fred, who is an elder in the congregation there, and his mind is not there. This is his wife Emma. She loves him and takes care of him. Brother Fred is my age, but he had diabetes and a lot of health problems and had a stroke, and he's just not very good health. Okay, so then we traveled around a lot. We nice van. I don't remember if it was a Toyota or a Nissan. I can't remember which. 9-10 passenger van. So some of the brethren like to travel with us. So these are the young brothers, evangelists from Zambales, who speak good English, and they travel with us. So this is Mario, and this is Emmanuel, and that's Joel, and I guess that's Godie's face is covered up there. And I can't see who that is. And there's me and a number of the brethren. We just stop beside the road, have a lot of fun together. They break out in song and sing in English the songs that we sing, and we just enjoy, just singing together, spontaneous singing, and it's just wonderful fellowship that we all the songs that we know they know, and it's just great fellowship. I just enjoy it immensely. And I'm sure you would too. Enthusiastic, hard workers. They each have a congregation that they work with in Zambales. So here we are going up a mountain road, and we stopped beside and took a picture. Here's the Fuller Brush men, for those who know anything about Fuller Brush. Have baskets and brooms and everything else. This tricycle. Tricycles everywhere. There's another tricycle over there. A third of the traffic is tricycles. Another portion is jeepneys, which are open-air Jeeps that people hop on. I don't think I have a picture of a jeepney this time. Two-lane roads most of the time. There's sometimes a third lane that they're another lane that they're adding on. Oftentimes there'd be a big gap where there's no pavement on this third lane, or people would park on this lane over here. Anyway, traffic's a big problem over there, especially in the country. This is what I would call it in the country, as opposed to Manila. Manila is a totally different story. There they got freeways. Of course, there are big parking lots with the cars parked on the freeways. I mean, it's terrible traffic in Manila. Terrible traffic. And so it's very different in the city than it is out in the country. Suspension bridge that we crossed to go to a church over there on the other side. I had to walk a couple of kilometers to go to the church building. I thought I'd just show you the suspension bridge. Here we are walking to that church building. This is rice. You can see the heads of the grain. They're ripening, so they're almost ready to harvest the rice here. In fact, they were harvesting. I think I have a picture of them harvesting the rice. Here we are walking across the field to the church building. Some of the church buildings are in the country. People are very poor. Anyway, here we are walking through the... this is another totally different location. I guess I got my pictures a little mixed up. This is in Baguio. Baguio, I'm sure Mila knows about Baguio. It's high in elevation. It's cold. We got cold at night at here. Other places, not cold at night. This is what they call the strawberry fields. Okay, this is not strawberry. That's cabbage. But they had strawberry fields, and they're famous throughout the Philippines for the strawberry fields. And so we came and we picked strawberries and paid a premium for picking the strawberries, and then bought them for less that were already picked. Anyway, the brothers who traveled with us wanted to go to the strawberry field because they had heard all about it. So we took them there and went through the fields and picked some things. But this is a mountainous city. And this is in the middle. There's a valley in the middle of the city. Here's a country road, and this is, what do you think that is? Ears of corn drying beside the road. That's corn. Orange corn, if you will. And many of the roads, they spread tarps out and they dry their rice. And the rice is on the road. And if you have to, you drive through it, but you try not to drive through the rice. They dry their rice. If it's a concrete road, they spread right out on the concrete, spread their rice out to be dried. This went to a church building. Guess what that is? Baptismal. That's where they baptize their people, and this didn't have a place otherwise. And this is corn beside it over there. I think that's corn. Could be sugar cane. Can't tell real sure, real clear. Okay, here, this is Subic Bay, taken from our motel. Beautiful hotel and beautiful, this is sunset on the bay there in Subic Bay. This is another picture from the hotel of the Subic Bay. Very beautiful country. Again, it amazes me there are no seabirds. You go to California and there are seagulls everywhere and all kinds of seabirds. Not there, no seabirds whatsoever, none. I guess they've eaten their eggs. I don't know. And they don't survive. Okay, here we are this is Lavaclanca. The brethren, last year they had a roof, and that's all they had. No walls. And so we gave them money to put some walls up, a few $100 to put some walls up, and so they put the windows and the walls up in the church building and are now meeting in there. They were not able to meet there before. Now they're meeting there. The windows, no glass in the windows, but they have, and so this is here again is Godi translating for me as I made a presentation. Here's in the city again. This one is, I can't remember the name of this congregation. I spoke at this congregation one Sunday morning. And this is the assembled that were there. The evangelist is Brother Emmanuel, who traveled with us some of the time, and his wife and two children. They're asleep. They're okay. They're just asleep. And lives very basic, very poor, and yet they're dressed well. He's a school teacher, and I believe she's a school teacher as well. So they have good jobs. Some of them don't have. But there, a number of them are trying to become school teachers. And you know, they get paid a few hundred dollars. They're not paid very much. But anyway, it's a better job than many of the other jobs there. So here's Emmanuel and his eight sisters. Well, there's seven there. And all of his sisters, he has no brothers. This is his mother. And this is his child. So, but there's seven, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven sisters, and then one that is, I think, was working in Malaysia that wasn't there. So another thing that they do is they don't have enough jobs in the Philippines, so they go to Dubai, they go to Saudi Arabia, they go to Malaysia, they go to China, they go to all other places and find work, oftentimes. But anyway... this is another congregation. This is a congregation we had never been to before. This is in Nueva Ecija. Brother Stephen and Sister Maudel had introduced us to this congregation. We spoke there, and we had two baptisms. Two people came forward for baptism there. And so we took them to a hotel that had a swimming pool, and they were baptized. I didn't do the baptizing. I just thought I'd take you to one of the malls that they had there. For those of you who are into basketball, you probably could name all of the... Tim can name all the basketball players in the NBA. NBA is big over there. And I just amused at the contrast that they have over there of things that are American. They love America. They go by and they have T-shirts that are all American-like T-shirts. They really love America. And I guess this is the dream country. They'd like to come here and live. This is a toilet. This is a restroom that I had, one of the more basic. So here's where you go, down in here. And you know, this is bamboo, and you sit there. I don't know. Maybe this is the toilet paper. I don't know. They didn't tell me. But I guess that it could be. Banana leaf. Very, very basic, very gross down in there. Maggots. That's enough. I won't say anymore. And all this was they had a tarp to shield you and give you a little bit of privacy. So some of it's very basic. And then some of, you know, of course you go to a hotel and in the city and they got flush toilets and everything else. And it was a premium if we had hot water in our showers. We wanted hotels that had hot water. A lot of them don't have hot water, just cold water for showers. And even though the weather's not that cold, cold showers just don't go over very well with me. All right, this is another, this is a Binalosan. This is their house. I don't know what they'd put metal sheeting on their house. This was the house. We went in there and had a church assembly, gave a couple of presentations in there. These are the brothers from the congregation. They don't have a church building. It was their house. They don't have a church building, and they wanted to, over here, they wanted to tear this mound of dirt down, level it off, and build a church building over there. So we decided to give them a few hundred dollars, and they'll do all the labor, and they'll build the church building. So they're going to build a church building right adjacent to it here. This is Binalosan, up in the mountains. And so here's the church house up there, the same location. Here's the steps. Just shoveled steps out of the dirt, you know. Come raining season, I guess it'll wash away. I don't know. There's Anita coming down the steps there. Another church. Let's see if I can remember which church this is. I think this is in Pasay City. Yeah, this is in Pasay City. Now the church spoke there. I gave a presentation. These are, you see the notebooks that they all have? The children, the coloring books that Anita had passed out to the children there. And they really enjoyed that. So a lot of youth, a lot of good family there. Faithful church. Here's the countryside. There's a waterfall. This is on the island of Negros. Beautiful countryside. Very rugged. You're not gonna plant rice or corn in these fields. Very beautiful. One of the places we went, there's a turkey. Had a number of places had turkeys. This one strutted around a lot there. Thought I'd take his picture. This is at Tyason. The turkey was at Tyason. This is at the congregation at Tyason. Most of the men were away, so there's not too many men here, mostly women. They're off working. So we're in the middle of the week, you know. Men are off working, whether in the fields or in the city or whatever. And so those who gather with us, to a great extent, were the women, because we can't be there on Sunday morning for, you know, only a few places. So anyway, they enjoyed it. They enjoyed the seeds. They enjoyed the health presentation, the silver water, and that we talked about, and very friendly, and had a meal with them. We bought some food for about $100. We supplied food for a whole bunch of people, and had a meal together. Enjoyed it. This is on Cebu. This is the church that we met with. It says in Tiza. Tiza, I think, is a barangay. So their governmental structure is, of course, the country, and then they have provinces, and then under provinces they have cities, I believe, and under cities they have barangay. They often name their churches after their barangay. And so this is the little congregation that they had there. This is the leader of the congregation, Brother Robert. Forgot his last name right off the hand. His children, his wife, and his three children. He's a college professor, teaches at the college, and so I'm in communication with him. This is the first time I'd ever met him, and we're trying to see, you know, how he stands, and but he's very faithful and very got a lot of college students that he's introduced into the church there. Converted a lot of college students there. So we're enthusiastic to continue our relationship with Robert. This is Cebu City. So you can see, you know, quite, such a variety. Here's another big city, modern city, the Cebu City. First time I'd ever been there. And then the contrast to the country. So this is the congregation, a little place called Carol Ann. We helped them reinforce the walls last time. I don't know if we asked them to. They asked for additional support for their church building, but they needed rice. The very, very, very poor people here. This is the locations where, you know, they have very little food. Their land is poor. They plant crops, but their land is poor. Lots of rocks in their fields, and they don't gain much. So we gave them some money for some corn and some rice to feed their families. Here's Duane talking to some of the brethren there. I made several presentations here at this congregation. Out in the middle of nowhere.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Pardon me, but I'm going to take my headache and go home. Okay.
Okay.
I'm enjoying your presentation.
All right. God bless you. This is the countryside around there. Here's the concrete road. Sometimes there's concrete road, sometimes there's not. Anyway, out in the middle of nowhere. Some of the places don't have electricity. A lot of the places here don't have electricity. There is some water around there, too. These are islands. So we take ferries between the islands, and I just thought I'd show you some of the pictures from the ferry of the islands as we're coming and approaching. Here's the ferry. This is a ferry. This is how we get around on the islands. This is a small ferry. Others are bigger. And it's all rusted out, but yeah, it gets you there and back. So you drive the car or the van or whatever, drive the van on there or trucks or whatever you do. And then passengers, don't stay in the vehicles usually, or maybe they're walk-on passengers and they ride on the boat. So here's another ferry. This is much more modern. See how you drive your vehicles onto the ferry, and then they drive away and drive out to sea. This is another ferry over here that's empty. And then the seats. Oftentimes the seats are out here. Here's the brothers, some of the brothers who came with us, Brother Joel and Brother Timothy. Timothy was our driver in the van wherever we went on Luzon. This is Brother Godi and Brother Emmanuel. He's taking a selfie there with his camera. And I think is that me? That's me over there, I think. So Dwayne must have taken this picture. So oftentimes it's open air. They also have closed cabins on these ferries with air conditioning on some of them. So it just depends upon how the ferry. I thought I'd show you, this is the podium, whatever you call it, a speaker stand. Very basic, and floors or dirt in one of the congregations. You know, such a variety. So this, in one of our trips, this was the traveling group. Again, the brothers come along with us. They help us a lot. So this is myself, and this is Brother Timothy, who is our driver. He's the son of Brother Rudy Gonzalez. And this is Gody, and this is Rexon, and this is Lori, and Mario, their husband and wife, Mario and his wife Lori. And then this is Stephen and his wife, Madel, and Anita. And this is Premi and Chris from Panay. So we all ride in the van, going different places. The brothers, they all speak English pretty well and understand us. And we can understand them very well, too. And Stephen and Madel showed us additional churches that we'd never been to before, expanding the influence that we have. I just wanted to let you know, sometimes this is a Subway restaurant, and they have Subway, they have McDonald's, they have KFC, they have, in the cities, of course, they have these restaurants, Jollibee, which is like a McDonald's. Anyway. They're not as good as, but they're similar. This is in on Bacolod, the little out in the country close to the city there. This is Brother Clavio and Brother Joel and Chris and Premi. Went along with this is the congregation that they had there. Last year, their church building was this big. We gave them money to expand it to this big. And then they didn't have enough chairs, so we gave them some money for more chairs to expand it. They didn't have electricity, and it's open air, but they're enthusiastic and appreciate the brothers there. Here's a tricycle, all sorts of tricycles, small, big, and they use them to carry things around with, too. Amazing at what they carry on their tricycles. So a tricycle is a motorcycle with a sidecar. That's what a tricycle is. And this is in Posse City, I believe. This is the church building in Posse City that we helped construct. Gave some money to help construct it. By the way, there was some papaya there, I think. I get papaya and mango mixed up, but there was a tree there with fruit on it. Here's a nursery, a plant nursery, where you could buy bougainvillea there. Okay, big variety. One of the things, this is at Carol Ann. Here I am, and this is Brother Toti. And Brother, can't remember his name off the top of my head. One of the things that I decided to do was to give them an MP3 player. I assume most of you know what an MP3 player is. It has music on it, or you can play music or whatever. On it, and it's just a little. And I got some. I purchased some for $10. Really basic, really cheap. And then others were $16, but still very, very cheap. And the reason I did that, I started doing it for Mexico, is I saw some of the brothers in Mexico who couldn't read very well, and I thought, how can they study the Bible if they can't read very well? You need the Bible. You need the Bible. Into your heart to gain the knowledge of God and His will. And so I decided to buy these MP3 players, and I passed out some in Mexico. I haven't done it all places in Mexico. But I bought 20 to take over as an experiment to the Philippines. So these little MP3 players, I packed them in my suitcase. They came with earbuds. Well, that means one person can listen to what's on the MP3 player. So I decided to also buy speakers. Well, speakers cost a lot more sometimes than the MP3 player did. But that allows more people to listen. Now, what did I put on the MP3 player? I put the Bible. I put the Bible in audio form on the MP3 players. And there are three different languages I was able to find on the internet to free Bibles, audio Bibles. So I had it in Tagalog, which is the national language. I had them in Cebuano, and I had them in Ilocano. Those three languages I was able to get the Bible and put them on the MP3 players to hand to the people and give them as gifts. Well, there was some extra space on the MP3 player, so I put some Cloud 9 singing on there in English. So they've got singing on there too. So here I am. I'm giving, just demonstrating to Brother Tody the MP3 player. Well, but these are congregations that don't have electricity. So what do? You got to charge the MP3 players. Well, they can go down to the city and get it charged, but they can't play it. So I decided to buy speakers and a battery pack. So I've got battery packs. Some of them are fairly large battery packs that they use for their cell phones, to charge their cell phones. And I thought, well, maybe they can use it to play the speakers. And I tried it out, and it worked. I don't know how long it'll last. So I'm giving them a battery pack as well as speakers and an MP3 player, and to see how that they can use that. And they're already saying, this congregation, we didn't get one. You know, we want one too. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's an experiment. I took 20 of them over there and distributed to the different churches, and we'll see how it goes. It'll help them learn singing as well, even though it's in English. Many of the places, some of the places had songbooks in English. We took songbooks over there. We took boxes of songbooks. You're allowed two pieces of luggage on the plane. I took one of my clothes and the second one of songbooks, because they don't have songbooks. You can't buy songbooks over there, and to ship songbooks over there costs like $500 or $600 or more to ship a box of songbooks over there. That's very expensive. So we took them as extra luggage. Some places, though, they have translated the songbooks into their native language, and we paid for some copies to be made of their songbooks. I think it's far superior to have them singing in their language rather than singing in English that they only partially understand. But that's what a lot of the congregations, they sing in English. I don't know. I shake my head at that. I don't know what to think about that. So anyway, some of them will appreciate the English songs and others may not appreciate the English songs. But the Bible is what I'm especially hoping that they can, the people that can't read, the people that don't have access to Bibles can hear the Bible. So that's my hope. It's an experiment. We'll see how it goes. All right, let me summarize what happened. I didn't know I was going to talk this long. I guess I should have known. Almost 4 weeks that we were there. 24 congregations that we visited. 10 were new, hadn't been to these 10 new ones before. 5 islands that we went to. 11 provinces, if I counted right. I personally made 24 presentations. So if those of you who, any of the men who go over there with me, expect to speak if you go over there, because that they want to hear from you. Over half required an interpreter. 11 baptisms, 11 people came forward while we were there and were baptized. Praise the Lord. We provided assistance as we saw need and as our funds allowed. We did medical, food for families, church building maintenance, expansion, Bibles. We bought Bibles. We bought songbooks. We paid for copies to be made of songbooks in their native language. And I passed out 20 MP3 players and speakers. And we had to purchase some speakers. This is a letter. I want to read this letter to you. This is from Chris and Premi. He says, "Dear Ed, Brother Ed, Dwayne, and Anita, we're very glad to hear from you that you're now in service. I sent them an email saying we're back home. We are so thankful to all of you for visiting here in the Philippines, hoping you are all doing well after a long trip to the Philippines. Your visit is most edifying and encouraging to all of us. Again, thank you so much for the lessons we learned from you from the Bible, and also thanks for the alternative medicines we have already distributed to our brethren, the silver water. We are now again processing another couple of liters to our brethren who were not able to avail. We pray that this will be of great help to all of our brethren who have illness. Again, thank you so much for providing us the colloidal silver generator, hoping this is very beneficial to all of us. Our daughter Kimmy has planted the seeds in a small seed bed last Sunday afternoon, and now it is already growing. We are excited to see the appearance of these plants you brought for us. Hope this will produce more so that we can also share to others. The apricot, we brought some apricot seeds. Not yet shown that it is growing, but maybe it will take a number of days to grow. By the way, apricot seeds contain latril, which is anti-cancer. And so a few places we brought apricot seeds for those people who have cancer. You can eat them, a few of them. The problem with the apricot seed is they also have arsenic in them, which is poisonous, deadly poisonous. A little bit of arsenic in there, so you got to be careful. You can't eat too many of the apricot seeds, but it can cure cancer. It's been known to cure cancer. So we gave them apricot seed. But, of course, apricot's a tree. They don't have apricots there. I don't know, in their stores. Anyway, second paragraph. We thank much Sister Anita for her kindness to us and loves to show to the small children. We're so sorry that we were not able to let you bring coffee seeds to you. Well, Chad Cogburn collects coffee seeds, and they grow coffee seeds, and we were going to collect some coffee seeds for Chad, but we didn't do it. I have contacted before one of our brothers, but he was not able to mill his dried coffee. Hope next time we could provide you on your next visit to the Philippines. We regret that we were not able to provide you something that would remind you during your visit in the Philippines this year. Hope next time we could do it. Lord wills. Again, on behalf of our brethren here, we would like to thank brothers Ed, Dwayne, and Sister Anita for the great task you did, and to all of our brethren in Albuquerque and Arizona who support this long evangelistic work to the Philippines, and for their financial assistance to all our brethren who ask their personal needs, like foods, medicine, and hospital bills, Bibles, and additional copies of Cebuano songbooks. We are hoping that example you showed will remind all our brethren the attitude of a true disciples of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray this is not your last visit. We will always pray that you can have a successive visit every year. May God's blessings be with you all. In his love, Chris Premi and children. That's why we go. That's why we go. The Lord blessed us and gave us good health. We got colds when we first went over there, and allergies. I think I'm allergic to some of the things over there. So finally I started taking allergy medicine and got helped with it. And the silver water, took some of the silver water. But anyway, I hope you understand why we go and why we are there, and the good that we are able to do. I believe that we're able to do good there. And God willing, we'll return. God will allow us to return there again. John?
I didn't see a lot of destruction from the weather, the typhoons and stuff.
Not this year. This year there wasn't that much. They're still rebuilding from the severe earthquakes that they had a couple of years ago. I didn't show pictures. Bridges, they're rebuilding bridges. This is on the island of Negros. Rebuilding bridges, rebuilding roads. They had terrible earthquakes over there and destroyed a lot of things. Earthquakes and typhoons, and so then typhoon damage. But this year they didn't have as much. We helped them with some typhoon recovery, but not as much this year.
And also, I
If you think about it later, you can ask me. Okay.
Ever? It seems that our money goes quite a long way there, especially for building materials and maybe
yes.
for food. Does it really stretch out?
Yes. They do the work. Typically, there may be one or two places that pay for labor, but most of them do all the work themselves. All the brothers in the church do the labor. You know, bags of cement, and so they mix the cement and they lay the floors and everything. Yes, yes, it goes a lot further. And their buildings are very simple. They don't need air conditioning over in the Philippines. So they don't have closed-air buildings. Most of them are open-air buildings. They don't have air. They don't. I'm not saying that nobody has air conditioning. I'm just saying that the church buildings don't have air conditioning. Motels that we went to a lot of times did have air conditioning. But no. So open air, and they can get bamboo. Bamboo is structural material. They do you oftentimes harvest the bamboo themselves. But the termites will eat the bamboo just as well as the termites will eat anything else. So they've got a ton of problems with termites over there. So you got to have concrete floors, and you got to come up so high with your stem walls, you know, so that anything you build above that, the termites won't eat. So it's a real problem.
It doesn't seem like there was a middle class, or is there? I mean, is it just rich and poor, or is
there is a small middle class? But you're right. It I would say some of. Yes, let me just drop it at that.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked that is we're not able to reach the middle class.
There's not a big middle class. In the areas where we went, I'm not saying that in Luzon and Manila and Quezon City, I'm not saying that there isn't a middle class, because there is.
And those that would be rich or considered rich, I guess, you don't find are interested in the Lord's will at all? Or
We haven't reached out to them. Huh. They don't have contacts with them. There is a lady in... Mila can remember her name. I can't remember. In Calaclan, who I would consider middle class, and she is very generous in helping the different churches there. Very generous, and so yeah, there are some people that have a little bit of money, but not very many. Okay, I think it was a worthwhile trip. The Lord blessed us. And that's my conclusion. You saw why we go over there. If there are no other questions, let's have a song at this time. John, I guess I asked you to lead a song.